This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue our study of the Shama'il of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this blessed book of Imam al-Tirmidhi called the Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, the Muhammadan characteristics. And we have reached the second hadith. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadan wa alayhi wa sallam, Sallim al-Tasil al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, fi Shama'ilhi ila anqal. We're still on chapter 1, hadith number 2. وبه قال حدثنا حميد بن مسعدة البصري وقال حدثنا عبد الوهاب الثقفي عن حميد عن أنس بن مالك قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ربعة ليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير حسن الجسم وكان شعره ليس بجعد ولا صبت أسمر اللون إذا مشى يتكفأ. So this is narrated by Humaid ibn Mas'ad al-Basri. He narrated to us that Abdul Wahhab al-Thaqafi narrated to us on the authority of Humaid, who related on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, who reported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of medium stature, neither exceedingly tall nor short. He had a handsome physique. His blessed hair was neither extremely curly nor straight. His complexion was fair with some redness. When he would walk swiftly with vigor and lean forward slightly. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So again, we have this meaning that he was Rab'a sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, that he was between, that he was not that tall, excessively tall, nor was he that short, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he that inclined towards being tall. But he was of medium stature, as it states here. And so, رَبْعَةً لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ حَسَنِ الْجَسَمِ. And so, translated here, he had a handsome physique. In other words, he had the most beautiful, proportionate, balanced body that could possibly be. Everything about him reached the highest degrees of perfection, physically, in relation to his character, in relation to his internal meaning, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other words, that anything and everything that would be considered to be beautiful was found in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the true meaning of beauty according to the people of fitrah, not according to the warped understanding that people have in this day and age, So he was Hasan al-Jism, that's how he was described by Anas ibn Malik. He had a beautiful body, a handsome physique. And then, وَكَانَ شَعْرُهُ لَيْسَ بِجَعَدْ وَلَا صَبْتْ. So we spoke about this already. His blessed hair was neither extremely curly nor straight. And then his complexion, that says here, أَسْمَرَ لَوْنَ. His complexion was fair with some redness. Now they have a long note here in the margin that says the following. The word أَسْمَر can also be translated as wheat-colored, henty, or brown. This is a solitary narration from the Ru'u Humaid from Anas. Hafiz al-Iraqi noted that other narrations mentioned azhar alone, which means fair and luminous, imbued with a bit of redness. Azhar alone. And really, the Prophet's skin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was otherworldly. There was a luminosity to it that made it seem otherworldly, even though that them describing this, they were describing the blessed color that they saw, but there was an otherworldliness to his blessed skin because of being fair and luminous. And the note goes on to say, and of those who narrated the Prophet's blessed description, 15 companions in total who narrate the Prophet's blessed description, all mentioned fair instead of redness. The complexion that is negated in the first hadith is dark brown, not the wheat or brown complexion mentioned here. Many scholars suggest that what is meant by brown in this narration is redness mixed with the Prophet's fair complexion, a balance between extremely white and dark brown. It is critical to note that the word fair in this narration is relative to the complexion of the Arabs of the time, which according to most authorities was wheat-colored and inclining towards dark brown, this being an intermediate complexion, between white and dark brown. When reading the prophet's description as fair, it should not be understood that he was pale-skinned, as in what we would describe as white, which is explicitly negated in the first hadith of Anas, radiallahu anhu. Allah made his beloved prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, relatable to people of every color and ethnicity and with a striking complexion that is in the middle of human hues. Allah and his messenger know best. So that he could relate to everybody and every aspect of him, even in relation to his complexion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned, is that it would shift slightly depending upon how much that he was out in the sun, but he had the most beautiful skin and the most beautiful of all colors right there in the middle between that all of these other different hues. And we should always remember is that the different hues and beautiful skin tones are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different languages are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should never forget that. So his complexion was fair with some redness when he walked. So now this is the first narration we have about how he walked. وَإِذَا مَشَى يَتَكَفَّتْ. When he walked, he would walk swiftly with vigor and lean forward slightly. Look at that. It's one verb in Arabic. And then look at all the words that you need to translate that. So this word تَكَفَّأَ in the Arabic language has that multiple meanings and thus requires that multiple words in order to translate it. And that it, according to one interpretation, that it could mean that he walks swiftly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more dominant interpretation is what's mentioned there towards the end, that he would lean forward slightly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as they say, kasafinati fi jariha, right? The way that a ship inclines in her course. So he inclined forwards as a ship inclines in her course. And this is indicative of strength. He had a very powerful and beautiful gait, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. how it is that he would walk. And that we have in narrations that are coming, كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطْ مِنْ صَبَبْ, as if that he'd be walking downhill. And he would put the ball of the foot down before its heel. And that according to that others, that there would be a slight sway from right to left. So all of this is included in from different narrations and different understandings of the words that are used here, how his blessed walk was. Now, it's very rare to see someone walk like this, but alhamdulillah, there are still inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who because of their living and very real experiential connection to him are taught to walk like him or end up walking like him from observing him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I've seen that one of our teachers walk like this on more than one occasion. It's the most beautiful and graceful walk that you've ever seen in your life. And these are words, but when you actually see it in action and what that means and the beauty and the awe-inspiring nature of it, of this strong, powerful gait and way of walking, it's something really, really special. And so no one was as beautiful as our Prophet was, even in terms of the way that he walked, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then we will just take one more hadith here, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The third hadith will be Hilal qad hadathana Muhammad ibn Bashar, ya'ni al-Abdi, qala hadathana Muhammad ibn Ja'fa, qala hadathana Shu'ba, an Abi Ishaq, qala sami'tu al-Bara ibn Azib, yakul kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulan marbu'an, ba'ida ma bayna al-mankibayni, azim al-jummati ila shahmati udhanay, alayhi hullatun hamra'ahu, ma ra'aytu shayn qattu ahsana minh. So Muhammad ibn Bashar, meaning al-Abdi, narrated to us, Muhammad ibn Ja'far narrated to us, Shu'ba narrated to us on the authority of Abu Ishaq, who said, I heard Bara ibn Azib say, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man of medium stature. So this has come before in using a different word, slightly different form of the same root. His blessed shoulders were broad. He had a full head of hair, jumma, that would reach his blessed earlobes. He was wearing two red garments. I have never seen anything more beautiful than him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So just a little bit about some of these narrators to show who they are, a little bit about them, because they're so important. Muhammad ibn Bashar, that is mentioned here, who's that the one who Imam al-Tirmidhi heard from, is that he says he's the sheikh of the Immat al-Sitta. So the six great imams who had the canonical collections of hadith, the sheikh of all of them. And Imam Abu Dawood said that كَتَبْتُ عَنُ خَمْسِينَ أَلَفْ حَدِيثٍ, that I wrote 50,000 hadith from this great imam. And so Muhammad ibn Bashar, يعني al-Abdi. So he narrates from Muhammad ibn Ja'far. And just to show, these weren't just people of knowledge. This Muhammad ibn Ja'far, that they said, well, can you assume yawman fi wiftar yawman? Is that he would fast one day and that break his fast the next day. So the siyam of the Prophet David alayhi salam. And that he was relied upon by all the great imams of hadith. So these are people who were not just scholarly, but they were extremely pious as well. And then this great imam, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, al-Hafidh, Amir al-Mu'min fil hadith, Imam al-Shafi said about this blessed man, Shu'bah, who then narrates from Abi Ishaq, is that, لَوْ لَا شُعْبَ مَا عُرِفَ الْحَدِيثِ فِي الْعِرَاقِ, were it not to be for this great imam, that the people of Iraq would not have known hadith. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said about him, there was no one like him during his time. So these are great individuals. And then we have this Imam Abi Ishaq, and they said about him that he was from the Tabi'een, and that he narrates that from and had 300 shuyukh. He was an abbot in addition to his scholarship. He was a worshiper. Kana sawaman qawaman. He would fast regularly and pray at length at night. And ghaza marrat. And on top of all of that, that he fought fi sabilillah, that on multiple occasions. And then he narrates that from the Al-Bara ibn Azib, the great companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was a man of medium stature, so we've already talked about that, and his blessed shoulders were broad. Okay, so there was dignity, there was strength, and that traditionally among the Arabs, this would also point to generosity and forbearance, someone that had this type of build. So he had broad shoulders, ba'id ma bain and monkey bain, azim al jumma, and he had a full head of hair. So there's a beautiful note here that says, that talks about the three words that are used to describe the length of the Prophet's hair. So you have the word jumma, wafra, and limma. The word jumma is where the hair reaches all the way to the shoulders, and that was the longest that the Prophet's hair would get, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wafra is where the hair reaches to the earlobes, which is here. And then the limma is where the hair is between the earlobes and the shoulders. So it's lengths of hair. And in this narration, Bara ibn Azib described the Prophet's blessed hair with the term jumma and said that it reached his blessed earlobes. Now, but according to the use of these terms, the Prophet's blessed hair should have been described here as wafra. Imam Bajur and other commentators on the Shemal shall bring attention to this leniency in terms and suggest that it was stated liberally with wafra in mind. The phrase would reach is a translation of the preposition ila, often translated as to. There is a difference of opinion. He goes into this grammatical detail here. But there are different ways. The point here is the Prophet had different lengths of hair that he would have, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he describes what he was wearing. Alayhi hullatun hamra. He was wearing two red garments. So a hulla traditionally is a type of clothing that consists of two pieces, and something like a loincloth and a tunic. Or others will say it's one garment with an outward aspect and an inner aspect. And that they might be matching or they might be made of different materials. And that the scholars here say that some say that it was solid red, thus pointing to the permissive. Others say, no, that it mean it had red lines in it. No. And then they point out that hulla can also be interpreted to mean a double-layered garment. So they're describing that his blessed clothing, and that it wasn't that clothing made him look beautiful, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made clothing look beautiful. There's a difference. He made everything look beautiful. It wasn't that the clothing made him look beautiful. He was the most beautiful person of all. He made the clothing look beautiful, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever he wore was beautiful. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْءٍ قَطْ. And note that Bara said that he had not seen anything, not just anyone. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْءٍ. He didn't say that مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا. He could have said, I saw no one. They said that he hadn't seen anything, not just anyone, more beautiful than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is without doubt the most beautiful of Allah's creation, more beautiful than anything in the cosmos. Allahumma salli wa sallam alayhi wa ala alihi. May Allah ta'ala, from the blessing of reading these blessed narrations that are filled with nur and light, that allow us to be able to see the best of creation, to remove the veils between us so that we see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we can witness firsthand that blessed beauty now while we're here in this world. But then, inshallah ta'ala, when we transition to the next world, when we see him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah ta'ala, inshallah, we'll be from the closest of people to him, and we come at the Tahawud and see him there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of the way we dedicate ourselves to our deen here in this world, hopefully that will be from the closest to him, that in majlis, in sitting, even in the hereafter. Ya Rahman Rahim, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us in all of our affairs. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.